Well, good morning. Good morning, everyone. How are you this morning? Cool. Well, my name is Douglas Montandon. I am the executive director, as Jesse mentioned, of Love in the Name of Christ of Manteca. And I'm a husband to Sarah Montandon, sitting down here in the front, my beautiful wife now for 19 years. And then, my four wonderful daughters. And their ages are, well, we're going to be four here real soon, but ages 4, 5, 9, and 14. So, and the 14-year-old, I think she thinks she's going on like 26. But anyways, wow. We've called Manteca, Lathrop area, home for now 11 years. And I really, why I came to talk to you guys this morning, I'm really super excited, but I just wanted to give you a glimpse into this organization called what we call Love, Inc. of Manteca and kind of get to hear my heart for this community. Well, first and foremost, Love, Inc. is here to serve and to help equip the church. That's, you guys are the church. So, and at our most basic existence, we're a call center staffed by volunteers throughout the work week talking with those in need in our community. Last year alone, volunteers took over 1,450 calls, and then we connected with 483 households in this community, connecting them to the local churches and agencies mobilized and equipped to help in their area to meet their need. Okay, why do we exist? This is the question, right? to connect the local church to the widow, the fatherless, the immigrant, and the poor who exist right outside these walls, right here in our community, to give voice to the most significant needs in our community, and to aid the local church in stewarding of its resources. So our local churches, we partnership with them, and most of the time it is those needs being met in the local church. So we want to partner with them, and in other words, that kind of looks like us helping to guide those resources so that they go to the most who are at risk versus those who are purely looking to take advantage of the church's generosity, this community's generosity, right? But I have to tell you, like I said earlier, we do not exist without the church. You guys are the hero in this story. We don't exist. And for that, I have to say thank you. It gives me the pleasure and opportunity. And I love to wake up out of bed and get to do this job. And it's something that's so exciting to see our community coming around those who are in most need in this community. But I also want to say, you know, the friendships and the partnership that we have with Northgate, it's phenomenal. Jesse and Miles, great pastoral staff. Your support, I just want to say thank you personally. and I'm thrilled to see what's on the horizon for you guys. Some of the things that I'm getting to kind of be in on the ground floor and conversations are so exciting to what this community could benefit from Northgate Community Church. Super excited, like I said, to be able to share with you this morning. You can imagine how this went when Pastor Miles initially asked me about this opportunity, right? He sent me an email. Hey, would you want to come talk to us and tell us what Love, Inc. is all about and just to give us kind of what's on your heart? It'll be great, right? Exactly. See, I was a little nervous. That's an understatement. But he reassured me. It'd be fun, right? This would be fun. I'm excited, absolutely excited. You can imagine how the conversation went. Just pick up a topic, right? Sure. Yeah, that's easy for him to say, right? He does this every week. I'm the local missions guy. There's a reason why that I'm the local missions guy. But truly, hats off to the staff who preach here and teach here. I just don't know how you do it every week. I thank you for your support and admonishment as those folks leading here. Meanwhile, time passed. I said yes. Obviously, I'm here. and I just kept asking and thinking about what I was going to be talking about. And a couple of weeks went by. Maybe it was reading I'd been doing, content I'd been taking in, training of new volunteers, and kind of walking through the training with them and just kind of bubbling up things and sayings and just thoughts and desires. But a little annoying saying kept ringing in my ear. And as Love Inc. and most of you who are working with the poor can maybe attest to, we get an interesting vantage point, right? We get to kind of see the community and how that impacts those who are least fortunate. We're always racking our brain. What's the better model? How are we going to do this? You know, how are we going to approach this? How are we going to save the world, right? And this little saying that came to mind was, you know, I kept thinking how generous the community of Manteca is and how, you know, a need arises, people mobilize, come around the need. But typically that's in a very kind of material sense. They don't have clothing, we find them clothing. If they don't have, you know, gas for their vehicle, we find them gas for their vehicle. But the saying was, rich in generosity, yet poor in relationship. Rich in generosity, yet poor in relationship. I could not get it out of my head. I just couldn't get it out of my head. Still rings very clearly as the day I first remember talking, having this conversation with one of the volunteers that I was talking with at the time. Rich in generosity, yet poor in relationship. What did it mean? And that started a small little journey to understand. Being in this role, ask anybody working with the poor, anybody working with those in need, and they will all tell you that a relationship is key to encouraging any desired change in someone who is struggling and in need. They're lost of hope. They're void of any sort of dreams. They can barely think about, if they have a need and they're hungry, they're thinking about what's for dinner tonight. They can't think about 5 years from now. It's a trusting relationship that is going to be able to provide the capital and able to share and be truthful with them. It's a relationship accompanied by the willingness to walk with them for a season. That's the foundation that any form of new life will begin to establish on. It is my hope today, in this short time that we have, these few minutes that we have together, that we'll be looking at the example that we have in Jesus and how he desires to transform our lives. And we will begin to see that a relationship is the only effective means to a transformative work with anyone, with any community, even with ourselves. See, I think Jesus makes it pretty clear that a relationship is the most significant resource to gaining the full life that he promises us. Why don't you open with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. And as you're getting there in your app or in your paper Bible, I just want to kind of set some stuff up here. This is the last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. And in this sermon, Jesus totally turns the religious life on its head. Everybody was thinking about it one way, and he just flips it on its head, right? He's most likely, this starts in 5, goes all the way to chapter 7. So it's most likely his third or fourth time, or fifth time even, maybe of telling them about he's about to wrap it up, like any good preacher, right? He's telling them, yeah, but then he uses one more opportunity to extinguish any possibility of achieving heaven on our own merits. So we'll pick it up in verse 21. And for those, it's on the screen up here. We'll go ahead and just read all the way through it. The the passage. And then, so it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Okay. Before we proceed further, I want to tell you. First, this passage is still a little scary to me, even to this day. Even after the time I've spent studying and preparing for this morning, for this opportunity to share with you. But I'd like to just take a moment for us to wrestle with it, because I believe it reveals to us some very significant things about the Christian life. More importantly, about our Christian life. Will you pray with me? Lord God, you're infinite and we're finite. Allow us to hear these words as your children today. Speak to us. Instruct us. May our ears be open. Mold us, shape us for your glory and for our city. Amen. So verse 21, we'll just jump right in there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. We might ask, what is the will of my Father? And most commentaries will tell us during these times, during these days, when Jesus was preaching this, right? They had prophesied of the coming of Christ. And during those times, during Jesus' ministry, doing the will of God boiled down to believing that Jesus was the Messiah and responding appropriately. See, we can look to passages like John 6:29 and 1 John 3:23. In 6:29, Jesus answered those who he was teaching. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. And as we go further, in John 1:23, "And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has commanded us." So that was Jesus' words and an account from John. And then we have also instruction from John to the church, right? And then we can see that was the paramount element there. If we skip down to verse 22, he says, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles. Theoretically, in today's modern church, we could add to this list, right? In the Western world, feeding the homeless man, giving Christmas gifts to the needy, maybe to a needy family during the holiday season, handing out bags of groceries at the local pantry. All these are good things. Don't get me wrong here. These are all good things. And in reality, none of these things are earning us any more favor with God. Reality is that they're just making us feel a little better about ourselves. And none of this will have much of a tremendous impact on the lives of these individuals. You see, the homeless man probably already ate that day. And will need another couple meals the following day. And he'd probably benefit more from us asking him his name. And sitting down with him and talking for a few minutes and getting to know him. and the family during the Christmas holiday. Yes, the gifts are neat for the kids. But if the dad's around, the collateral damage to his self-image will last well beyond the toys. And maybe think about this. Right? How about meeting with the family before the gift giving, asking for their permission to bless them, or even working out a process for sharing the cost of the gifts and possibly hosting them for a meal. And the pantry work, you may already know their name, but by now you've already figured out that this biweekly visit is just enabling a lifestyle. Imagine a day where you inquired why you saw them there every couple weeks, shared a cup of coffee with them, where you asked her about her hopes, maybe, her dreams, and talked about the ingredients in the bag. Traded stories with each other about your kids and maybe the very first meal you prepared when you found yourself out in the world on your own. We'll keep moving. Verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And there it is. I never knew you. There's the relationship rub. I never knew you. That's where I believe God wants to do the greatest work in all of us. No matter how long we've been following him, you see, I believe he desires for our dependence on him to get stronger and stronger as we mature in Christ. Think about Paul in Ephesians addressing the church in Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is heard, that is Christ. And I just love the way one of the translations of the Message really kind of brings this home. And it says, no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy marks for imposters. But here it is. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take lead from Christ, who is our source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. See, I think he so desires us to step into these situations. And it's in those situations where we'll have to rely on something else besides ourselves, leaning on our relationship with Jesus and the Spirit to guide us through. He so desires us to step into these situations. And it's in these situations where we really get to see a glimpse of how much is at stake and how big his plans are to use us to do great work for the kingdom here on earth. You see, my story isn't all perfect. I must tell you, I know some things about running an organization, leading teams, and running an operation. But God is really putting me through the paces in this role. But I have to say, there hasn't been too many turns where we haven't been able to see him at work, trusting him. See, during the first 18 months, we made some very significant changes to the way we've been doing things. Getting back to our roots of our mission, so to speak. And we're still overcoming And we are still, and some of those things are very much taking place still. Case in point, one of those changes was created, we created a partnership. A little earlier last year, we created a partnership with a ministry, the Worldwide Ministry of Evangelism Explosion, here locally. We created this partnership. Why? Because we felt God nudging us to be more gospel intentional and than we had been in our past as an organization. You see, I imagined all those times when either at the church or at an agency or someplace in this community where the church was active and mobilized and doing something good, right? And I had imagined all those times that person who was in receipt of that said, "Why are you doing this for me? Why are you helping me?" See, we can look to 1 Peter 3:15, right? And 1 Peter 3:15 will tell us, "But in our hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have." Why are you doing this for me? Why are you doing this for me? "But do this with gentleness and respect." That's our answer. That's our response. To revere Christ as Lord. And be prepared. So what did that look like? What does that mean to be prepared? We'd made these relationships with these folks we'd been talking to on the phone. We were speaking with. God's driving them into our path. So this partnership seemed like a great fit. Because Evangelism Explosion, EE for short, is an equipping ministry that helps the local church and faith-based organizations like Love Inc. train, equip, and multiply its members to confidently share their faith into becoming a way of life witnesses where they just see everything through the lens of the gospel. That's how they would operate in their community. It's a traditional classroom-style learning process, but it has an on-the-job training part of it, an element of training, meaning that we'd actually have to go out and talk to people as a part of the training time. Okay. I don't know about you guys, but this can look a little interesting if you're not familiar with sharing your faith, right? Using what we've learned from what we learned in the classroom, right? This has been one of the most rewarding yet challenging changes we've made as an organization. Why? Me personally, because it's really stretched me in ways that I wasn't all that comfortable going. But I've seen so many life-transforming opportunities sitting down with people, talking about Christ, and that full life that he really does speak to, that he offers us, that begins today and goes on forever. But the reward I got to see God show up in more, the reward was I got to see God show up more in my inadequacies rather than my strengths. And this is still stretching me today. So how do we respond to all this? How do we respond? What's been said, I believe it comes down to one simple word. And that word's knowing. Us knowing Jesus, us knowing our neighbors, and us knowing the people of our church. Us knowing individuals we serve with, us knowing the folks we go to church with, is paramount. See, it's likely there are folks right here in this room, people with economic problems, challenges, loss of housing, loss of job, people struggling financially. God's word says to care for one another, bear each other's burden. Then that fulfills the law of Christ. These are the very same folks who we would go and mobilize with to go out into the community and minister to the community. It's vital. We would want to know that they're cared for and strengthened for mission. And secondly, us knowing our neighbors. Now, this is where it gets a little different, right? We may know who sits on our right, or who lives on our right, who lives on our left, right? That's easy. Johnny lives next door. Joey and Jan live next on the other side. Or you may live next to a park. And that neighbor, somebody might be somebody who sleeps in that park. Sometimes. Not all the time, maybe. Maybe we get to know their name. Maybe our first attempt is through the backyard chain link fence. Besides, we have to look at this. It's a command. God tells us in his word it's a command. If we look at Proverbs 31:8, this is speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. How can we speak for anybody if we don't know them? And of course, the great commandment. And Jesus, now these are Jesus' words. In Matthew 22, 37 through 39, love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he follows that up with, and love your neighbor as yourself. And then third, us knowing Jesus. We've got to get this right. The rest of this is all for naught if we don't. Without knowing Jesus, I'd be just heaping a load of burden, regulation, and policy on you. See, we need his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his self-control to do this effectively. His sacrifice is our motivation. We've been given much. This is Jesus working in and through us. It's the only way we can begin to live this out. So you ask. So I have to ask you. Seriously. Have you been born again? Really, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ alone to give you this life to the full that begins today and goes on forever? If not, don't leave here. Don't leave here. Don't leave here today. If this is a decision you're looking to make, we would love to discuss this with you further. It's not something we should take lightly. We should count the cost. And for those here who know Jesus, because us knowing Jesus is where this all springs up from. You see, that's the part of the transformation that takes place in us as we develop in Christ. We begin to have sight to see injustice, the lost, the broken, the poor. This focus evidences a true conversion. Not only sight, but it gives us the courage to step out and to act and to redeem and to repair. A well-known writer, speaker, teacher, preacher, Tim Keller says, reality is that the doctrine of justification by faith alone, if grasped completely, should lead to a just and generous life. Think about that for a minute. Really think about that. God himself sent Jesus. Jesus came to the earth. He couldn't just forgive us from up there, right? So he went to the cross. He paid the debt himself. An infinite death, so terribly costly. Why? Because he's so just. And he calls us to be working to this end as well. I understand we're not all called to know everyone, but we can know someone's. And if all we do is that, imagine the impact. How could that transform our neighborhoods, our community, our school, our city? And lastly, I just want to come back to the beginning of all this and that little annoying statement that I had. I had somehow cooked up in my brain. But it was rich in generosity that I couldn't get it out of my head. Rich in generosity, yet poor in relationship. Rich in generosity, yet poor in relationship. You see, what I realized on this journey is that the notion of true generosity doesn't come from our material wealth. It doesn't come from that place. True generosity comes from our knowing of someone and someone's. Would you pray with me? Lord God, you are mighty God, and you have been working in Manteca long before us. Oh, the beauty that you have faithfully shared with us in Christ. We all agree that we have fallen miserably short when it comes to knowing each other and our community. But we want to begin again. We are so thankful for the work on the cross and what that means for our life now and forever. Thank you for the city of Manteca, the place we call home, and the opportunity we have to play a significant role in its redemption as the work of the church going out into the community. God, give us eyes to see just how much you love us and how just you were in Jesus. And that would motivate us to see the injustice, the lost, and the broken of our city, in hopes that we would boldly step into that space to do something about it. Unite us, God, as the community, as the church. Lord God, amen.